I'm going to share my screen in a moment. I think last time we finished reading the Nusach of the Brachos and Daf Yud Aleph on the Beis, and one of the observations I made was that you have to be careful in reading what's printed in the Gemara because you don't actually know what was really there. You only know what the printers or the scribes happened to comment on. And someone made reference to Professor Ma'uri's article about textual variants in Tanakh and figuring out, you have to use the Medrash itself to figure out what text Chazal had. You can't use the printed text or even the text of the biblical quotation in the manuscript because scribes were sometimes not careful. So we read the three brachos, and it looks more or less like the brachos that we happen to make. So I wanted to take a look now. I'm going to share my screen. I'm going to share the Rambam with you. It was actually kind of interesting yesterday. Can you see? Now, yesterday, I was having a conversation with my wife, who teaches a lot of very interesting. One moment here, just want to check one thing. She teaches and has taught a number of very, very interesting courses. I learn a lot from them just hearing the preparation. But she made a comment that she's a historian and she'd be interested in teaching a course on the impact of the printing press upon history. And the truth is, the printing press probably might be the most consequential invention since the invention of the zero, of the digit zero. And so I commented that I was going to be talking about this in Shir, a little bit, one piece of this in Shir on Sunday, because in this material that we were doing. And so I showed her, and she figured out what the answer to the puzzle was, the Rambam, and one of the very interesting things that has happened. So to kind of review just our Nusach HaBrachas, we have the Bracha, Asher Kedushanu Mitzvot Tzivanu La'asot B'Divrei Sarah, and our second, and it's a question whether the Harevna is part of the bracha or not part of the bracha, but it's either two or three brachas total. And Harevna ends with Hamelamei Torah Lamo Yisrael. And then we have the regular bracha we make when we get an aliyah, Shabbach Abani Kalim, and so on. So the Rambam, we had read part of the Rambam, I know last week, where the Rambam said you make three brachas. Right, if you can see at the top of my screen, it was on Roman numeral 1, and I know we read that already. Hamashkim likro batara kodem shikro kriyashma. So the Rambam says, in the end, mevarech shalosh brachos, v'achar kach korei ve'eluhein. So the Rambam says there are three brachos. And this is a machlokas yishana. It's an old machlokas of the Rishonim. The Baal Hamor says that there are three brachos. As you might imagine, the Raifid was never too terribly pleased with anything that the Baal Hamor seems to have written in Zasagos and disagrees. So the Rambam calls it three brachas. And now let's take a look at the print at the Nusach of the Rambam. The Eluhain, Asher Kedishanu B'Mitzvot Tzivanu Al Divrei Sora. So that is well known. That's Machlokas Sfardim and Ashkenazim about whether or not which way you go. And then the Rambam says, V'harevnu Hashem Elokeinu Es Divrei Tosh Chavafinu Fiyos Amcha Kobeis Yisrael. We say kulanu yodei shemacha, and we say v'lom dei sarasach l'shmah yasvei oskei sarasacha. Baruch atah Hashem hamalamei Torah lamo Yisrael. And then the last bracha, baruch Hashem rachabani mikolim, etc. Okay, so take a look on the word v'harevna. So the Hagos Maimonios, and Hagos Maimonios is one of five, Rabbeinu Hillel, the author of the Hagos Maimonios, is one of the Maram Mewurtenberg's major Talmidim. Probably five major Talmidim. The Rush, the Mordechai, the Rabbeinu Hillel, the author of the Hagos Maimonios, the original Tashbetz, and the Shari Dur, Rabbi Yitzchak Duren. So the Hagos Maimonios is the commentary on the Rambam that sort of lists the Ashkenazi or lays out the Ashkenazi Torah, often in contrast to the Rambam. Not always, but typically it's to say the Rambam said this, but you know, these are what, Hagos Maimonios quotes the Maram Mewurtenberg, his Rebbe, all the time. So he writes here on letter Lamed, and the Lamed is placed in the printed text on V'harevna. Hatosvos kosvu sheyesh likros V'harev bevav v'hakol bracha achasi. So the Hagos Maimonides comments here that according to Tosvos, the bracha asher kedishan tosavet zivanu lasok b'tevei seira And Vaharevna until Hamalame Torah Lamo Yisrael is all one bracha. And therefore, you should say V'ha'arev as opposed to without it. In other words, if you say Baruch Hashem Lasok B'Dvesera, period, that's the end of the first bracha. Now you would start a new bracha. When you speak to God, the first thing you say is you don't put an and in there. This is not biblical Hebrew. So you would say, Harevna, make the words of your Torah sweet, etc. But Tosis says it's one bracha. In fact, he would say that the Harevna does Harevna is just the continuation. Otherwise, well, maybe it would have started with a bracha. Tosis says, therefore, you should say a vav. So I ask you, what is very odd about this comment that goes by Monios? Well, hold on to, before you answer that question, I will let you answer, but one more moment. And then the Rambam says that the end of the bracha is Hamalame Torah Lamo Yisrael. So the Hagos Maimonios writes in Os Mem, Aval, Perush Rashi Sham, Shechosem Hamalame Torah Lamo Yisrael. But Rashi in Brachos says you should complete the bracha with Hamalame Torah Lamo Yisrael. It's on Dafir Alpha Mebeis. Aval Achosem Baruch Ata Hashem Lamdeni Chukecha. This is all Rashi. There are some apparently who thought that you would end the bracha with saying Baruch Atah Hashem Labdeni Chukecha, which happens to be a pasuk in Psalm 119, Mizmar Kuf Yutes, where it's one of the bases. Kuf Yutes is the Tamanya Ape, eight aleph bases, eight alephs, a pasuk can be with aleph, eight with a base. So one of the bases is Baruch Atah Hashem Lamdeni Chukecha. And in fact, the entire Mizmar is a paean to Talmud Torah. So there are those who concluded that way, and Rashi says it's wrong. She'ein zo bracha ela bakasha she'amar David adkan. So you're not supposed to conclude this bracha with a bakasha. You're supposed to conclude this bracha with praise of God. Hamalamei Torah Lamo Yisrael. So Rashi says that the correct nusach of the bracha is Hamalamei Torah Lamo Yisrael. Now, what does the Rambam say? Well, if you look back at the Rambam right above, the Rambam says, Hamalame Torah Lamo Yisrael.
Right.
So what's going on? So I learned many years ago from experience. There was, 10 years ago, I decided to start going through the Rambam. I went through probably Mada and Ava. I don't know if I got stuck somewhere in Zmanim. And when I learned Sefer Ava, especially Hilchos Tefillah and Brachos, I discovered something amazing, which is there are so many places that the text of the Rambam was edited by, I presume, Ashkenazi printers to conform to Nusach Ashkenaz. Now, you wouldn't know that unless, if you're Sephardi, you might know that, because you might notice that a lot of the things in your Siddur don't match that which the Rambam writes in Sefer Ava. If you were familiar with the manuscript or the Yemenite texts of the Rambam, you'd realize there was something off. Or sometimes when you read the commentaries on the Rambam, like the Hagos Maimonios, you realize that they had something different in front of them than we have in front of us. And obviously, I think it's obvious once, maybe it was obvious to some of you already, but it's obvious, I think, once it's pointed out, that the reason why the Hagos Maimonios appears to be citing Tosfos and then Rashi with a text that's the same as found in the Rambam, even though certainly the second one, but even the first, when he says, Aval Rashi Piresh, but even the first one sound like Tosfos and Rashi disagree with the Rambam's Nusach. The only problem is that the Nusach, the text that the Hagos Maimonides quotes, is exactly that of the Rambam. So when you look in the manuscript of the Rambam, and in this particular case, just a piece of information, maybe I've mentioned it before, but you'll forgive me for reviewing. Number one, for the first two of the 14 books of the Yada Chazaka, we don't actually have the Rambam's autograph, but we have a text, a manuscript that the Rambam checked over. So for all intents and purposes, it is as if the Rambam wrote it. That is the Huntington 80 manuscript, which exists for both Sefer Hamada and Sefer Ava. After that, you can rely upon the Temani manuscripts because they were remarkably faithful to the Rambam, and they certainly weren't influenced by Ashkenazi Nusach. So now, if you take a look at the Rambam in what I put, it's both the Frankel edition of the Rambam, which, if I can find mine, for those who are not familiar with it, this is the Frankel edition, and this is the good edition in terms of the text of the Rambam. They went back to manuscripts. So the Frankel edition of the Rambam, and I have access to a Temani manuscript as well on an old computer program. For the computer, but it doesn't even run under Windows 7. It runs under Windows XP. It's so old. And that was That was even a chiddush that it ran on the Windows XP. So he writes, this is the text. Ve'eluhein. These are the three brachas according to the Ram. Asher kiddushan et asavet sivanu al devrei Sarah. So far, so good. That's not different. Harev na Hashem Elokeinu es derei toros chabafinu ubefifios amcha kobeis Yisrael v'niya anachnu v'tzeatzeinu v'tzeatz amcha, etc. Now, Harevna is missing the Vav, which now, when you look back at Os Lamed of the Hagos Maimonios, it makes sense that the Rambam wrote Harevna without a Vav, which also makes sense because he says it's three brachos. But Tatosos Kasu Shieshel Kursa V'Harev B'Vav, because it's all one bracha. Now the Rambam continues. V'tzeatze amcha Yodei Shemecha V'oske Sorasecha Baruch Atah Hashem Nosein HaTorah. The Rambam's second bracha, the chasima, the concluding words of the second bracha, are like that of our Birchas HaTorah when we get in Aliyah. It's not Hamalamei Torah Lamo Yisrael, it's Nosein HaTorah. And now, when you look at Os Mem, it's obviously clear. Avo Rashi Piresham Shechosem Hamalamei Torah Le'amo Yisrael. This happens, as I said before, all over the place. In the Rambam's Hilchos Tfila, everything in Sefer Ava. Every time the Rambam is quoting the text of something, you have to make sure that this is not a text that has been edited to match Nusach Ashkenaz. I assume what happened, it's not that the printers were nefarious and they set out to deny the Rambam his originality and the Sephardic tradition. It's just that they were oblivious to the fact that Sephardic Nusach could be so different. So then when they saw the text of the Rambam or the manuscript of the Rambam that they were creating the printed text from, they said, obviously there's an error here. And therefore, let's just correct it to make it right. Not realizing in the process, of course, that Minag Ashkenaz and Minag Sephard were very, very, very different. So you see, so basically there are at least three potential differences from our Nusach between the Rambam, our Nusach and the Rambam. The Rambam's first bracha is Al Devrei Sarah, which is well known. That might even have been the Adifrim that was in the Gemara itself. No, our Gemara reads Lasok with Devrei Sarah, but that's standard Sfardi Nusach. If there are any Sfardim in the Shir, they ask them, they probably say Al Devrei Sarah. And then the second bracha, the Rambam says, begins without a Vav. That's a long machlokus we'll talk about very briefly. And then finally, the Rambam concluded what we might call the first bracha, with Nosein HaTorah, not Hamalamei Torah Lamo Yisrael.
The bracha Lamdeni Chukecha, the only time I know of that you make that bracha is if you say bracha to Hashem with the wrong kavanah for the chasima. But interestingly, I was at a shul that had a girl's bat mitzvah, and they gave women aliyot. They didn't let men in, but they gave women aliyot, and their chasim, their second bracha, was Amdeni Chukech, and I'm not saying
Yes, so without any comment, broader comment about the phenomenon and things like that, presumably the purpose was that you couldn't actually, firstly, as you may readily understand from our sugya, this may be a problematic practice, even though its intent is to try to get around any questions. But some women's prayer groups they tell the women who are going to get aliyot not to make their Birchas HaTorah in the morning, so that they can make Baruch Atah Hashem, when they read from the Torah, because they haven't made Birchas HaTorah first. So it looks like it's a bracha on the Aliyah, but it's really a bracha that you would make in the morning. You may realize from our sugya that certainly has some serious obstacles, because our sugya said that you're yotze with avarabah. But putting that question aside, let's leave that issue aside. So then when it comes to the bracha afterwards, the bracha shenasa lanu taras emes, you cannot make unless you're getting an aliyah. And since it's not an aliyah, they're choosing not to make a real bracha. They're making what you could call it a fake bracha, but it's not a problem of being mostly shem shemayim batala, because all they're really doing is reading a pasuk. So in that sense, I presume that's where the practice originated from, precisely because it's not a bracha, right? The reason, as you said correctly, that when you start to say a bracha and realize you're not supposed to say a bracha and you've only said Baruch Atah Hashem, you just say a pasuk, because Ashkenazim will say, I mean, any Sfaradim would do this too, but Ashkenazim certainly will use the Shem Hashem when we read a full pasuk at a time. So here, there's a tailor-made pasuk, if you've only said Baruch Atah Hashem, where you could just read a pasuk from Tehillim. That's presumably why, as I said, why they do that as well, because they can't make a real bracha afterwards, so instead they just make this, you know, they say the apostrophe, which is a really a bakasha and more than a bracha. So just very briefly about the first issue. I don't know if we mentioned this last week. The question of Asher Kedishanu Tzasav Tzivanu Al Divrei Sora versus La Asok B'Divrei Sora. So the Beis Yosef writes, and it's on the screen in front of you. Uvizel Nuscha Asher Kedishanu Tzasav Tzivanu Al Divrei Sora. Poshut Sham, straight from the Gemara. Because of Harosh, V'yesh Mekomo She'omim Lasok B'Divrei Sora. There are those places that add in the word Lasok instead of Bi and supposed to Al. And Rabbeinu Yonah Kosav Shebenuschos Meduyakos Matza Al Divrei Sora. So Rabbeinu Yonah is quoted by his Talmidim in Brachos right here that the good texts have Al Divrei Sora. Because of Rabbeinu David Avudraham Sheyoser Nachon Lomar Al Divrei Sora Lefishu Kolel Ese Kalimud VaAsias HaMitzros. So the Avudraham says it's better, he thinks, to say Al Divrei Sora, because La'asok B'Divrei Sora refers just to the study of Torah, whereas Al Divrei Sora, he's suggesting, refers to a broader thing, not just learning Torah, but fulfilling Torah as well. I guess if you wanted to use the form of Al, you would say Al Talmud Torah, as opposed to Al Divrei Sora. So Al Divrei Sora is even broader. That's what he writes. And then V'chein Kosav, Ibn Hayarchi, the Manhig, Klomar de Ilu Lasok B'Divrei Sora Enu Ela Al Kriyas HaTorah. The brach of Lasok is only on Talmud Torah, whereas Al Divrei Sora is the bracha is both for Torah and for mitzvos. V'li Nira, and this is the Beis Yosef writing, the Yesh Lidchos, the Adaraba Mehaytem Agufay Odif Tvei Levarich Lasok B'Divrei Sora. So the Beis Yosef writes, if this is your argument, he thinks the reverse makes more sense, that you should say Lasok B'Divrei Sora. She bracha miyuchedes lekriyas haTorah shehuba lasok ba'achshav milavarech al divrei Torah shegal shekolel gam kein asiyas mitzvos. The whole purpose of making the bracha now is to learn Torah. So why should you make a bracha that's much broader and encompasses all sorts of other things, as opposed to the bracha exactly a birchas, almost a birchas a mitzvah on what you're doing exactly right now? So it says she'eno ba lachshav lasosam. You're not making a, when you say Birchas Torah in the morning, the immediate agenda is not to do mitzvos. The immediate agenda is to learn. When you do the mitzvos, each in its time, mevarech al kol mitzvah bracha hamiyuchad desla. So the Beis Yosef thinks that if the argument is the one being posed, as suggested by Rabbeinu, by the Avudraham and the Manhig, then he thinks it makes more sense to say lasok with the Divrei Sora. Umikom akom nuschas harambam hi Al Divrei Sora. Despite that, the Beis Yosef acknowledges, and this is the Minhag HaSfaradim, is that the Nusach is Al Divrei Sora. Okay.
See, it's interesting that the Rav absolutely didn't follow this Beis Yosef at all.
Right. So that's why I mentioned this last week in response to the Rav's the interpretation that you cite in the Rav's name.
Right, and also, I mean, if Lasok B'Divrei Sora really is limud, that's what the hisaskos is, then how can you say that women are chayavos to make that bracha when they're not chayavos in Talmud Torah?
So that's a question. I promised I would talk about this issue. There are two answers to that question, but the one that's given by the Magen Avraham is that women do have an obligation to study Torah, but only those mitzvahs that apply to them. And presumably, Lasuk B'Divrei Sora can be applied to that as well. Okay, but for the moment, I guess the truth is, I didn't add any additional makoros. I better talk about that question now. We're not going to come back to it. The question of women reciting Birchas HaTorah. Now, most of us, at least in the Shir, are Ashkenazim, and therefore it's not really a serious challenge. It's not a serious challenge because the minhag in Ashkenaz is that we in general, not just women, there is a fundamental debate between Svardim and Ashkenazim, Chachmei Svard and Chachmei Ashkenaz, as to whether or not one can volunteer a bracha. What I mean by this is, if you're not obligated in a mitzvah, so in most mitzvahs, if you're not obligated, you can do. There may be some exceptions, but generally speaking, women are not obligated to hear shofar blowing. It's a mitzvah saseh shasan grama. It's a time-dependent mitzvah. But it's almost minog Yisrael that women have accepted upon themselves at least to hear shofar. Women are not obligated to sit and to dwell in the sukkah. Nonetheless, most mitzvahs saseh shasan grama, so women are allowed to do. Probably the primary exception to the rule is the mitzvah of tefillin. And maybe tzitzis it being worn publicly. But outside of that, I don't remember if there's one or two other things. Generally speaking, we permit, and Sfaradim do as well. In that respect, technically, Sfaradim are more expansive. According to Sfaradim, I don't know what Sfaradi Rabbana would actually tell you, but at least according to the Shulchan Aruch, there's no problem for a Sfaradi woman putting on tefillin. But of course, as you'll see in a moment, without a bracha. It's the Rama who quotes an opinion Rishonim, which we accept, that women are not allowed to wear tefillin. If you're not chayiv in tefillin, and then generally speaking, we don't allow you. It's not just women. We don't have children do it until like a few weeks before the bar mitzvah, even though really by right, they should start the chinuch a year or two or 3 years earlier, whatever it is. So we allow women to volunteer mitzvos. We allow people and obligated to volunteer mitzvos. That's not an issue. The question is, can you make a bracha if you're not obligated? And the question actually goes back to an issue that's going to come up, not this week, but next week. It won't come up this Rosh Chodesh, but it comes up every other Rosh Chodesh that we say halal. Namely, that we on Rosh Chodesh, except for Hanukkah, which we're saying halal not because it's Rosh Chodesh, but halal because it's Hanukkah. And halal on Hanukkah is obligatory. It's one of the 18 days the Gemara in Arachin says that Shegomrim Boas HaHalal. So, but every other Rosh Chodesh is a minog to say chatzi halal. The question is, it's only a minog, it's not obligatory. So do you make a bracha or not? Now, the practice in Ashkenaz, for the most part, is that you do make a bracha. You make the very same bracha. Most Sfaradim, and this, by the way, the same thing applies to the last and Chutz Laaretz last 6 days of Pesach. When we say chatzi halal, halal is not technically obligatory there. It's not a yom shegomer boas halal. So the question is, can you make a bracha? So Ashkenazim do, but most Edot of Sfaradim don't. I forget, there's some split. There's certain Sfaradim, maybe Spanish Portuguese, who some of the time do, some of the time don't. I don't remember what the split is. But I think most Sfaradim, I don't know what Rabbi Lichtenstein, you know the practice of the Sfaradi minion at KJ, what they nope. do on Rosh Chodesh?
No, we really have to get Avesis on this shir. He would be such a help. Every time you ask the question of what the Sfaradim do, I think of him. I'm going to talk to him.
Okay.
And he loves to learn Gemara, too.
Okay.
I don't know what that minhag is.
So most Sfaradim do not say a bracha.
I know the Rav didn't make a bracha.
He probably answered amen to the Shaliach Tzibur.
I think he had a unique practice with Hallel. I never asked him personally. I just sort of heard that he didn't make a bracha over Hallel pretty much in general, except for Pesach night. And I'm not sure what the other ones were. You should ask your rabbi, he would know the answer to that question.
Okay.
No, I'm not saying, I don't know that. I know he definitely didn't do it on Rosh Chodesh.
Okay, so I know that like the Aruch HaShulchan, because of the Machlokas, and I don't think this is the Minhag, but he suggests, if you're in a Tzibor, just answer Amen to the Chazan's Bracha, so you don't have to make it. But nonetheless, Sfaradim don't make it as a rule because it's not obligatory. So this would apply in theory to any mitzvah which you're volunteering, which means that when it comes to Sfaradi women doing mitzvah saseh shasman grama, a Sfaradi woman will not make a bracha on the Arba Minim even if she does the mitzvah. She will not, if she were blowing shofar or if, you know, it was just for a group of Sfaradi women were coming to hear shofar, no bracha would be made. There would be no bracha. She wouldn't make a bracha of Leishi Basukah. If, you know, she were being, let's say, controversial in this day and age, she were putting on tefillin, she wouldn't make a bracha.
That's the Rambam, I think, yes?
That is the position of the Rambam. As opposed
Tosfos
to the
Tosfos disagrees.
Tosfos, which we will, God willing, get to in the next couple of months, on Yudalit Amud Aleph is one of the places. There's a long Tosfos. If you cheat ahead, look up with your eyes. That monster Tosfos there on Daf Yudalit Amud Aleph is all about this issue, about making a bracha which you're not obligated to make. So you would expect, as Rabbi Lukstein suggested, that if women are not obligated in Talmud Torah, and the bracha of lasuk b'divrei sora, in fact, is a bracha on Talmud Torah, so you would expect that women should not be able to make the bracha. That is what you would expect. However, if one were to go to the Shulchan Aruch, and I'll pull up my Bar Ilan for you here. I didn't pull the Makoros out, but if one were to go to the Shulchan Aruch, and let's go to Simon Mem Zayin and Orachayim. This is one of the things I will miss when we're not on Zoom. Not remotely valuable enough for me to want to be in person, but nonetheless. So the Mechaber writes, and the last line here, Nashim Mevarchos Birchas HaTorah, Sif Yodalad, which seems to be an odd kind of comment. In other words, you wouldn't have expected the Mechaber, of all people, to say that women can make Birchas HaTorah. You would have expected the Ramot to say that, but not the Mechaber. And this is one of the only cases I've ever seen where I found the Bir HaGra, which I think he made a mistake, although I'm sure he didn't, and I'm just I'm misunderstanding something. The Bir HaGra here, I can't show you, it's some reason it's not on this version of the Bar Ilan. I don't think it's in the commentaries, unless it is and it's not marked. Oh, maybe it is. Okay, it's not showing up. Let me go to the end. The Bir HaGra writes the following. Maybe it's the previous Bir HaGra. No, it's not here. I thought he did. Yes, it is. This is the Gra. The Gra writes, I am Magan Avram B'Shem Agur. They say that women are chayiv to learn Talmud Torah for the mitzvahs that apply to them. V'divrehem d'chuyim mikam upon him. The Gra says their words should be set aside for many reasons. Ukra tzaveach, and scripture screams, v'limadetem es b'neichem v'lo b'noseichem. That's how the Gemara in Kiddushin interprets. Heich tomar v'tzivanu v'nasan lanu. Ela ikar api mashakosu atosus u'shar poskim, denoshim mevorchus al komitzis asheish asman grama, v'chamosha kasafti le'el sif yudzayin, simin yudzayin sif yud sif beis, which is by tzitzis. Okay. So what's very strange about the Gemara, I don't know how to understand this, is that's very nice if your name is Rav Moshe Isserles, if you're the Ramah. But to point to the Shulchan Aruch in Simon Yud Zayin Sif Beis, I'll take you there. Let's go take a look at that Simon. We go to Simon Yud Zayin Sif Beis, and here, Nashim Bavadim Petur Mitnesha Mitzvah Sase Shazman Grama. And then Mechaber continues. I'm going to skip the Ramah a moment. Tumtum Vandrogonus. Two individuals whose sex, whose biological sex is unclear. Chayavim misafek, they're supposed to wear, if they wear a four-cornered garment, they have to put on tzitzis because maybe mid the oraisa they're obligated. V'yis atfu below bracha. But they cannot put on, they cannot make a bracha because if they are halachically a woman, so then they're not obligated in the mitzvah, and you cannot make a bracha on that. So clearly the Mechaber does not believe that a woman can volunteer a bracha. She wants to do the mitzvah, tzitzis, she can, but a woman would not be, a suffix woman cannot make a bracha because she might be, he or she, whatever it is, might be a woman, and therefore it would be a bracha levatala because she's not obligated in the mitzvah. Now, and the Ramos says, umikomakom and rotsim la'atfo, if they want to put on tzitzis, ulevarech alav, harishus biyadam kemo bishar mitzvah aseishas man grama, but he says, ach mechzi ki yura velochein, ein lan lubosh tzitzis hov, eino chovas gavra. All right, so the Ramos says, certainly, one would say, a woman should not wear publicly visible tzitzis because of yuara, but principally speaking, the Ramos says, if they want to wear tzitzis, they really meikar din should be allowed to, and they could make brachos. So in this context, the Ramah says women can volunteer brachos. The Mechaber says women cannot volunteer brachos. Anyone who is not obligated in a mitzvah cannot make a bracha on that mitzvah. So I don't understand the comment of the Gra pointing to the Shulchan Aruch earlier, because here it's the Mechaber who writes Nashim Mevarchas Birchas HaTorah. So pointing to the what I would say is the Ramah and Simon Yud Zayin doesn't actually help you. Now, so the question then, what is the resolution? If you don't buy the Magen Avraham, if you don't buy his interpretation, what he quotes from the Augur, that women are obligated to learn their mitzvahs, and many Achronim do accept that, by the way, that I think the only way to understand Birchas HaTorah and women making it would probably be that Birchas HaTorah might not be actually a Birchas HaMitzvah. It's more likely to be a Birchas HaShevach, or even more likely, it is sort of part of the Nusach of Tefillah, right? The context, the Rambam does not put Birchas HaTorah in Hilchos Talmud Torah. He puts it in Hilchos Tefillah. And either you use Ava Rabba, but if you're going to learn before, then you're supposed to make these brachos before. But it doesn't appear to be a classic Birchas HaMitzvah. And again, Tosfos says that you don't have to learn Meikar then right after you say Birchas HaTorah. The Rambam quotes the practice to do so, but it's not clear, according to the Rambam, if you didn't, that it would be a bracha l'matala, nor that you wouldn't be able to learn again later in the day without making Birchas HaTorah again. So it seems to me that the basis for women making Birchas HaTorah is most likely to be that it's part of the Nusach HaTefillah. It's part of the brachas you make up when you get up in the morning. And therefore, maybe women are allowed to make it as part of Tefillah as opposed to a Birchas HaMitzvah. They're not obligated in the mitzvah, but in terms of the broader framework of Tefillah, women are equally obligated.
Okay. Yeah, Rabbi Reeder, as you develop this whole question, specifically with the Mechaber, who unaccountably says women do make that bracha, you're right at the Rav's explanation that the bracha is not exclusively over Talmud Torah, but rather over Hisaskus B'Torah. And women are as Misaskos B'Torah as men are, because they lead their whole lives according to Torah. That's exactly what he said. Well, you don't have to kvetch with the Magen Avraham or anything else. It's right there. The bracha is over something much bigger than Talmud Torah.
So I understand how my approach is not the Rav's approach. I find the vocabulary aspect, I subscribe to the Beis Yosef's interpretation, but yes, the Rav's approach of seeing
answers
it that way
that question.
Would answer that question. That's correct. That's another way of seeing it, that it is a Birchas HaMitzvah, but not only on Talmud Torah, on the entire picture of being involved with Torah and observance of Torah, and therefore women certainly are Hayavos in that. Okay.
Have you ever discussed this with either your rabbi or Rav Schechter? I'm recommending it because to me it's like Aleph Beis. In other words, it's of course that's what it is. I think they might be able to elucidate it more, especially Rav Schechter. I'm not taking anything away from.
I understand. So, Belinetta, I will ask Rav Schechter about this. Okay.
Rabbi Reeder?
Sam?
Yes. Does it help us that the fact that the bracha is in Rabin and not Yochid, that the women are part of Knesset Yisrael, and they're just saying in a general way that we, Knesset Yisrael, are chayav to this mitzvah, and even though they're specifically not commanded, but they can say that as part of the, Am Yisrael, we're responsible for this. We're commanded to do this mitzvah.
So Sam, I think
in Yochid, the bracha from Birchas HaMitzvah is not in Yochid; it's in Rabin. So
I understand. It's a very good observation, Sam. I don't remember. That would probably justify Tosfos's position. I don't remember if he addressed it explicitly, but your interpretation would explain. Look, at the end of the day, according to Tosfos, I understand a woman is volunteering to do this mitzvah, but when you say Asher ki di shanu b'mitzvah savitzivanu, but she's not mitzvah. So the answer you're giving is that she individually is not mitzvah, but we collectively, Knesset Yisrael, as you termed, there are mitzvah. And I think that's a very reasonable interpretation of the bracha, but that doesn't work for the Rambam, for the Sephardim. Right? Because otherwise, they would allow that, just like it's Asher Kedishanu b'mitzosa v'tzivanu lasok b'devrei Sara, it's also Asher Kedishanu b'mitzosa v'tzivanu leshe basuka, but Sephardim clearly don't allow that. So I think your approach is correct in understanding the bracha as Tosfos would understand it, but it's not going to solve the problem for the Mechaber, for his internal contradiction. Okay? All right. So I think that that is all I'm going to say for the moment about Birchas HaTorah. Certainly had a lot to say about that. I now want to sort of come back to so let me, one more thing that I just wanted to observe, which is the question of two or three brachas, which we've already seen is a debate. And the Hagos Maimonides pointed out the Rambam has HaRevna three brachos. The Tosa says VeHaRevna it's two brachos. And the Rambam would say that even though HaRevna doesn't start with a baruch, it's a bracha smucha l'chaverta, and a bracha smucha l'chaverta. When you already have a bracha that immediately precedes it, you don't need to start the next bracha with a baruch. You could just end it with a baruch. And the Baalei Tosfos say it actually is part of one bracha. What practical difference does it make? There are actually a couple. There are three, but one I'm just having a little bit of fun with. So I'll give you the fun one with. There is a tradition the Gemara will have somewhere. I think it's in Brachos, but I don't remember where, that David HaMelech saw that 100 people were dying every day. So he instituted a practice that Mo Hashem Elokecha Shalom Eimach, what is God asking from you? Not Ma, but read Mea, that you should make 100 Brachos every day, which is more challenging, obviously, on Shabbos than it is during the week. I'm not going to go through the count, but during the week, at least, if you daven Shmon Esrei three times a day, that's already 57 Brachos. By the time you count Birchas HaShachar, Birchas Kriyashma, et cetera, et cetera, you're very close to the total, and the food that you eat on a regular weekday should be enough to push you over the edge. Shabbos is a little more challenging, but there is an idea that you're supposed to get 100 brachos. And let's say you got to the end of the day, and you were at 99 brachos, so then you'd probably want to find an apple to eat and make a buri priya eats or something like that. Or you'd want to take out some besamim, and if you prefer exactly 100, not mea v'yechad, so you'll take out besamim, where you only make a bracha rishona, and you make a buri mini besamim, and that will reach 100 brachas. So the question is, do I need to do this or not? Well, that partially depends on whether or not Birchas HaTorah counts as two brachos or as three brachos. Okay, so that one I say for fun. I can't claim myself to be such a kapton on getting mea brachos. I probably should be more careful, but in the course of most days, I probably get it. Shabbos, without relying upon like answering a main to whatever else is doubling your brachos, I don't know if I actually get it. Be that as it may, that's a fun practical difference. But the two real practical differences are one which were highlighted just now is, do you say HaRevna or VeHaRevna? Which brings to mind to me another question I've had for a very long time, which is, do you say Alkei Nekava Lecha or do you say VeAlkei Nekava Lecha? And I'm not quite sure. I probably should be able to figure it out. I haven't thought about the question in a couple of decades other than knowing it was there. But presumably that is the same type of an issue. Is the parsha or the section of Alkei Nekaveh fundamentally attached to Aleinu, or is it something new? And if you want a little fodder to think about this particular question, on Yamim Noraim, at least in Nusach Ashkenaz, we separate Aleinu from Alkei Nekaveh by quite a distance.
Ochila Lakeil.
We have Ochila, and we have Heyeim Pifio Shluchei Amcha, I believe that appears.
We don't say that.
You don't say that?
No.
Oh, how can you not say that? Okay.
My father didn't say it.
Oh, they have such a, in YU, I learned this a few years ago. I grew up hearing the same tune. I in the shul, my shul in Teaneck that I daven in was the tune I heard growing up. But I got to YU and they do the Nigun HaBeshford. It's beautiful for another time. But anyway, so presumably there's a similar concept here. But in the context of Hilchos Birchas HaTorah, if you think it's three brachos, then you say HaRevna without a vav, as the Rambam does. If you think it's two brachos, that Lasok B'Divrei Sora and the HaRevna are all one part of one bracha, and I'll give you an analogy in a moment, so then you would say VeHaRevna. Now, the last nafkamina would be whether or not you would answer Amen after Lasok B'Divrei Sora. If it's the middle of the bracha, you would probably not answer Amen. One of the Achronim, I think, says this, and this is not my own. If you want an analogy to this, where you have this exact same kind of thing, but I believe it's clear it's one bracha, is the last, right after Birchas HaShachar, when you say Baruch Ata Hashem, Hamavir Sheina Me'enai Snumei Alef Apoi, V'yiratzom Fanech Hashem Alkein Alkein Hashem Tari Gleinu B'Sarasach, etc. That's one bracha. So you don't answer Amen after the first part, after the first bracha. So if, in fact, you're listening to someone make Berachas HaTorah, let's say it's Shavuos night and you want to be Yotzei, the question is, do you answer Amen after Lasok B'Devei Sura, or do you not? Do you only answer Amen twice? So that really depends upon this issue. Now, how do we paskin? So if I'm not mistaken, the Mechaber says, let's pull it up. It's easy to do. It's Simon Mem Zayin. I know what the Ramah says, and we don't follow the Ramah. But let me just pull up the Bar Ilan for a second. Here we go. The Mechaber says, Sifav, Omer Vaharev Imvav, which is not like the Rambam. And then the Ramah says, V'yesh Omerim Belovav V'chein Nohagu, Aval Yosef Tovlo Mabavav. So the Ramah seems to be claiming that the minhag in Krakow, the minhag in Poland, was that they said it without a vav, even though he thinks it's better to say it with a vav. And I think that is our standard practice. The Siddurim that I've looked in has Vaharev with a vav. I don't know what the Svardim do, but I imagine that they follow the Mechaber and they say it with a vav as well. So here it might be that Ashkenazim and Svardim neatly come together for interesting reasons. So those are the three differences will be. Vav, would you say Harev or Veharev? Do you answer Amen or not? And does it count as two or three brachos to your daily total of 100? Okay. Any questions about Birchas HaTorah before we go on? Okay. So now I want to turn our attention back to what we're really here about. The reason we got the Birchas HaTorah is not because we're learning Maseches Brachos, but because we're learning Birchos Kriyashma. And Birchos Kriyashma contains Avarabba, Avas Olam, which the Gemara says would normally exempt you from the mitzvah, from the bracha, the Birchos HaTorah. If you learn, as the Yishalmi says, whether the Bavli holds that way, it's not clear whether if you learn right after davening. So Avarabba is a Birchos HaTorah. So this is the question I want to ask. Is Avarabba a Birchas HaMitzvah on Kriya Shema or not? Now, we'll see why that actually matters. If you had asked me, and I believe it's probably, although not definitely, the position of the Ramah, Ava Rabba is not a Birchas HaMitzvah. You know what a Birchas HaMitzvah would be on Kriya Shema? So I'm currently, just by chance, it's beautiful when things dovetail, the yeshiva is learning Psachim, and you wonder, what does it have to do with Psachim? Nothing, except for that on Daf Zayin and Psachim, there's a very important sugya about the Nusach HaBrachos. When do we say Al, and when do we say Le? We say Al Mikra Megillah, but we say Lishmoa Kol Shofar. We say, the Amoraim argue, do you say Al Biur Chametz, which is actually what we do, or do you say Leva'er Esa Chametz? So So we happen to be doing a little bit of overlap here. But one of the things that I've learned, and I asked my students, I gave them an assignment last week, which they did, was to come up with every bracha you can possibly find. Most of them just took the Siddur. I was combing through the Rishonim. Lots of brachas that you never knew existed but actually do exist. Most of them because we don't typically do them. But a whole lots of interesting brachas on Mitzvah Saseh. But the standard feature of all the Birchas HaMitzvah is that it's always to do something, le, la'asos, la'asok, le'shev, etc., or al, and the mitzvah. Now, when you look at the nusach of Birchos, the brach of Ava Rabba, it sure doesn't sound like a Birchos HaMitzvah. I would add that we happen to have seen, I hope everybody remembers, on Tosos on the bottom of the, on Bezim and Alf and Brachos, I thought Tosis quotes it, from the Gaonim, right? The question is, how can you say Kriya Shema? If Rashi is correct, that your Yotzei with Kriya Shema Lamita is your real Kriya Shema at night, but Birchas Kriya Shema, you said earlier, you know, before it says Hakochava, when you daven in shul, how does that work? So some of the Gaonim say, the Tosis or the Rush quotes them, we spoke about this, that when you say Birchas Kriya Shema at night, and you weren't Yotzei earlier because you said Kriya Shema too early, you say Asher Kedishan Tosavet Zivanu Likroas Hashma. There is, in fact, a Nusach of Birchas Kriya Shema, which looks exactly what you would think a Birchas HaMitzvah on Kriya Shema would look like. So Ava Rabba doesn't really look like that. But we're going to explore this a little bit. I'm curious if I could take a poll here. I'm not going to use the Zoom polling feature. How many people here say Kel Melech Naaman when you say Kriya Shema either at night or privately? Okay, I see Dr. Schwartz.
Yes, El Melech, Kel Melech Naaman.
Okay, there are lots of people who say, I happen not to say it. The Aruch HaShulchan says you don't say it. But the question is, what in God's name is the origin of this idea that you say Kel Melech Naaman, and it should only be said, even I think according to the practice, when you're reading Kriya Shema privately, not when you're davening in the tzibur. So many of you know the origin of this idea, that somehow you want to get to account of, there's a medrash actually, the Ramban will quote it, that there are 248 words in Kriya Shema, one connected each of the 248 limbs in a person. Of course, as with all, I'll jokingly say, it's a real medrash, and you have to figure out what the medrash's intent was. But as with all legends, there's always, you know, when you actually check it, like with gematrias, you know, when someone says it's the gematria of X, just make sure that they're not making it up, because you could get away with a lot, you know, of just slipping in a reference from going from one thing and the gematria of it, and nobody's going to check you. And I know gematrias can be off by one, but the problem is that Kel Melech Nem, that Kriya Shema, having 248 words is off. I think there are actually 239 words in Kriya Shema. So that's a problem. So one part of the solution is counting Baruch Shem Kevod Malchuso Lelam Vaed is 6, but that gets you to 245, and you're still 3 short, and that's where Kel Melech Nemah comes in. What's that?
I thought Hashem Elokechem Emes.
So that's when you're at Shibur. That's only when you're davening in shul. That's why you wouldn't say Kel Melech
Nemah. Kel Melech Nemah is a minhag to say it alone, right?
Yeah. So the question is.
But it also is no torikon for Amen.
Well, that already comes from the Gemara. So I'm going to share my screen with you again, and I want to take a look at the Ramban. There isn't a whole lot of Ramban in parts of this Masechta, but this is like the first Ramban in the fancy editions of the Ramban. It's the first Ramban that we have on Maseches Brachos. So I'm going to share my source sheet again with you. And now I'm going to go to page 2, which I've been carefully hiding. Okay, and the topic is Kel Melech Naaman. So I want to start reading. I don't know if we'll finish the Ramban now, but I would like to read, at least start reading the Ramban with you. Yeah, the Ramban says, Kvar haya minag ba'ayoros. There was a practice in our cities, Lomar bein avas olam lekriya shma kel melech naaman. Uvi yaldusi niskash alai. When I was young, I found it very strange. It was very difficult. Lefisha hadavar yadua sh'avas olam birchas hamitzvah hi lekriya shma. The Ramban asserts, without even questioning it, that Ava Rabba is a birchas hamitzvah. Shekol hamitzvahs kulan tu'unos hein bracha over lasiyasan. All mitzvos, with the exception of tevila, some of the time, or maybe all the time, all mitzvos, you're supposed to normally make the bracha before you do the mitzvah. V'chein b'halel, v'chein b'megillah, v'chein b'kriyas haTorah, v'kol shekein kriyas shma. Okay, now, why would you even say that Ava Rabba is a birchas mitzvah? So for that, you'd have to say, I think, that Kriya Shema, one of the mitzvahs that Kriya Shema fulfills, is Talmud Torah. It might be the quintessential mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And since Ava Rabba is a kind of Birchas HaTorah, therefore it's like it's a bracha on Kriya Shema. It's kind of like a Birchas HaMitzvah. Okay, yes, it's not formulated in the standard way, but nonetheless, the Ramban thinks that it's obvious that it's a Birchas HaMitzvah. V'zehu she'amarnu behishkim achkar shekara ein sarach lavarech shekvar nifta v'Ava Rabba. That's what the Gemara means, that you putter if you didn't learn before davening and you said Avarabba, you putter. The birchas shinun torahi. That Avarabba is a bracha of shinun torah, v'shinantam lefanecha. Ela shetiknu b'kriyashma, shtayim lefanecha, mipnei shezmana toloi b'yitziras ha'or uva'arivoso. They instituted 2 brachos for kriyashma. Well, the first one's not really a birchas mitzvah because Kriya Shema is recited at the time that light comes into being for us and light disappears. They're brachos of praise. They're not birchas mitzvah. There's a debate whether or not a blind person can say yotzer or because he can't see the light. So the Ramban says that bracha, the bracha of Yotzer Or, is definitely a birchas hashevach. But birchas abas olam, birchas hamitzvah lechovas kriyash shoshma. Ramban says that Avarabba is a birchas hamitzvah. V'hochi nami muchach b'shmaita dala amer lahem hamamuna birchu bracha achas. We'll talk about that's the next Gemara. But let's put that aside for the moment. Lefichach, and the Ramban says the next line is against the Gemara later in the Masechta that we've seen already. I don't understand this. Lefichach asunami birchas emes v'yatziv brachas smucha l'chaverta. The Ramban says that birchas emes v'yatziv doesn't open with a bracha because since birchas kriyashma, Ava Rabba is a bracha on kriyashma, the kriyashma is not really an interruption between the two brachos, and therefore emes v'yatziv is a bracha smucha l'chaverta, which doesn't need a baruch to open. The problem with this line in the Ramban is that the Gemara later in the Masechta, in the seventh parak, is going to say that all brachos require bracha at the opening, except bracha l'chareshu kriyashma and bracha smucha l'chaverta, which makes it sound like they're two different categories. In other words, the Gemara seems virtually explicit that emes v'yatziv is not a bracha smucha l'chaverta, just the Rabbanan didn't feel the need to give it a bracha to open. But anyway, that's what the Ramban says. V'chevan shezo birchas hamitzvah. Once you accept the Ramban says that Ava Rab is a birchas hamitzvah, hadavar barur b'chol shemavarech ala mitzvos, ol ala peiros. It doesn't matter. You make a bracha on a mitzvah, you make a bracha on a fruit. V'one amen achrayatzmo, to answer amen after your own bracha, bein bracha lemitzvah, between the bracha and the mitzvah, shuto agamor. Generally, we don't make amen after our own brachos. We do. We, Ashkenazim, only say amen once after our own bracha, but it's not after our own bracha. It's at the end of a series of brachos, which is bonei Yerushalayim, amen, and benching. Really, based upon the Gemara, there should be other sequences as well where you would answer amen at the end. Ashkenazim don't do that. But the Ramban says to answer amen between your own bracha and the mitzvah or the food you're eating is completely wrong. Ukfar partuze beferish biyushalmi tani. Aparis al shma va over lefnei ateva va noseis kapav va kori batora va maftir banavi va mevorech al achas mikol mitzvah samuras batora lo yane achar atzmo amen. So if you just said birkas kriyashma, to say amen or to say kel malach nemon after avarabba is inappropriate. Any tzarech levar inyan ze shumafurash la rishonim. I don't have to explain this. All the rishonim explain this already. Uchemeduma, the Ramban says, it would appear to me shehu hefsek. It's an interruption between avarabba and the mitzvah kriyashma. Vitzarech lach sorovarech. You have to go back and repeat avarabba. So much so. It's like if you take an apple, you make a bore per eitz, and then before you bite into the apple, you have a conversation, you know, about the Knicks' latest acquisition. So you have to make another bracha bore per eitz. V'hochi nami mashma b'shmaita tol bruch later. That's pretty clear. By Berchas HaMitzvah, the Gemara says there that you're allowed to interrupt if it's something that prevents you from eating. So if you made a bracha and then you realized you didn't feed your animals or you need salt for the bread, you're allowed to interrupt between the bracha and eating the bread because you're not supposed to eat before you feed your animals. You're not supposed to eat the bread without salt. So now the Ramban says, Umipnei shenohagu, because I saw that this is the minhag, utzrachti lishom and harav Rabbi Meir Halevi. He had to ask for Meir Halevi Abu Lafya, the author of the Yad Ramah. He had to ask him, why? The Heshiv Davar Baruhu Shehutaus. The Ramah said it's an error, absolutely clear, it's wrong. The Enu Nag Besfarad. It's not practiced in Spain, which obviously it was, because that's where the Ramban lived. Ela Be'eretz Yisrael. It's an Israeli practice. V'nisbatel Hashibush Hazem Imkomo. I don't know what he means by this last line. I assume it means that the error is so patently obvious that the practice should be batel. Okay. So that's what the Ramban first found out. Then he said,
"Which practice is this? You mean Kel Melech Naaman?
Kel Melech Naaman, yeah.
Oh, right.
And Kel Melech Naaman, as the Ramban, as others suggest, might just be, you know, some would even say it just means to say Amen. And Amen is enough because Amen stands for Kel Melech Naaman according to the Gemara, and that counts as three words, even if you only say one. But either way, it's inappropriate to say Kel Melech Naaman or to say Amen. Aside from you don't answer after your own bracha, it's also an interruption between your bracha and the mitzvah. So he says, "Achar zman ra'isi talmidei tzarfatim makshim aviomrim." They asked this question. The Balei HaTosas, presumably, it's not an hour Tosas that I've seen. Aviomrim biyadenu midrash agada. there's a midrash agada. The Kriya Shema Yesh Ba Ramach Tevos Kineged Eivar Shel Adam. The midrash says, as we quoted before, 248 words corresponding to 248 limbs of a person. Uch Shemanu, when they counted, Einam Ela Reish Lametest, only 239. Ubaruch Shein Kol Malchus Salam Vaed counts as six more. Shetzrichu Chachamim Lomar Kede Isav Epsachim. Vekel Melech Naman Zeh Mashlim and Osam. That's how you get nine more. Ubevadai Shekacham Ruchachamim Yilam Deinu Beparshas Kedoshim Tiyu. I assume it's the Medrash Tanchuma. Might be, unless it's a different medrash, Ilan Deinu. So yes, the Ramban says there is such a medrash. Amar Rav Mani, Beribi, Lote Kriyashma Kala Beinecha, you shouldn't see Kriyashma lightly, Mimnesha Yeshba, Ramach Tevos Keminyan Evarim Shel Ha'adam. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Im Lamadita V'Shamarta Sheli, if you study and you observe, mine, Lekrosa Ketikma, my Kriyashma, Ani Eshma Shocha, I'll watch your 248. Lekach David Mekale Shomreini Ki Ishon Bas Ayin. When he asked God to watch me like the pupil of the eye, Amar Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the response in that pasuk is, Shemor Mitzvosai Bechiyeh. Observe my mitzvos and you will live. So the Ramban says, Ba'achshav, Ani Tzarech Lehodiyam Ha'inin Hazeh, Umehechan Nolad Lohem Doros, Nolad Lohem. Where did they come up with this practice? Why would they answer Amen? So the Ramban says, Doros Arishonim, Lohayu Atzibor Mevarachim Ba'atzman Kol HaBrachos. The original, earlier generations, people didn't say Berchos Kriyashma. The Shliach Tzibor said it all out loud. Ela Shliach Tzibor Ha'ase Leirei Lefnei Ateva, the person who was going to daven Tfilah, the Shatz, he also said Berchos Kriyashah Lefneim, Brachos Kulam Behein Onim, Amen. So if the Shliach Tzibor is saying Ava Rabba and you don't say it, you're answering Amen to his bracha. Ulefikach haya hachazan hazeh mevarech avas olam v'atzibur onam amein. And then b'koren kriyashma b'fiyam, then everybody would read kriyashma shehi hamitzvah hamuteles al kol yachid. She mitzvah hamuteles al kol yachid. V'yachid she'eh mishanim b'fiv. Everybody reads Kriyashma themselves, but not the brachos of Kriyashma. U'lahashlim l'minyan evarim kefi ha-medrash hazeh, ha-yu omrim kel melech naman b'makom amein. And so, as a substitute for amein, they would say kel melech naman. Mimash amru mai amein. The Gemara in Shabbos says amein is kel melech naman. And the Ramban says, v'ev shersha ha-yu onim amein mamish. It could be the people just said amein. Ela shehamedrash mona osir shel amein, Remes Latashle Ram. The Medrash counts it as three because each of the three letters of Amen corresponds to Kel Melech Neman, and that gets you to 248. The Chevan Shehuno Trikon, Lishalosh Tevos, since Amen is an abbreviation for three words, Asu Osa Kishalosh Tevos Beremes Hamenyun Hazeh. So the Ramban says originally that's what they did because they were supposed to answer Amen after the Bracha. But Va'ani Ovin Lefanecha, I'm going to explain to you. So that's if the tzibur says it. But if it's said silently, every individual has to say it. Ela b'prisa shma b'seder kedusha b'nein shein kedusha b'yachod omrim hakol b'kol ke'achod. So the Ramban mentioned something here, which is not our practice. It's a machlokes. When you are davening privately, are you allowed to say Kadosh and Baruch in Kriyashma? Because you know you're not allowed to say Kedusha if you don't have a minyan. So what about the Kedusha of Yotzer Or, as it's called? The Kedusha that we say in the first bracha of Kriyashma. So that's a big machlokes in the Gaonim, whether you're allowed to say it if you're not in public. Minhag Ashkenaz is we say it, but some of the Sfaradim, I don't know what Sfaradim hold. Certainly, I suspect the Ramban and the Rambam say, you don't say the Kedusha, you skip it. You skip the Psukim. So the Ramban says, V'nogu b'psukim shall say the Kedusha, Psukim b'kol v'targum shalem b'lachash. People would say the Psukim out loud, because it has to be done as a tzibur. The Targum, which we don't recite in Yotzer Or, but maybe they did. We say the Targum, the Aramaic translations of the Kedusha, when we say Uvalitzion at the end of davening, what we call Kedusha de Sidra, but it sounds like they said it in the middle of Birchos Kriyashma. The Ramban says that you can say silently, Kevan She'ein B'targum Mishum Davar Shebekdusha Ve'ein Otzarach Hasara. So the Ramban describes a different practice where everybody would say the parts of Birchos Kriyashma. But umikomakom davar baruhum b'mevarech avas olam b'piv. If you are saying the bracha yourself, she'ena ona achar atzmo amen bein b'yachad bein b'tzibur. You don't say amen wherever you are. V'im ana hareze bur v'toa gamahu. You're ignoramus and completely in error. Now, I'm going to stop at this point to leave you in suspense. I don't know if some of you during the week who normally say Kelach Neman are going to stop saying it because we read the Ramban. But we'll begin next week's shiur by actually seeing how this plays out in the Shulchan Aruch, the various attempts to get to 248 words and what you do with Kel Melech Neman, or is there another way to get to 248? Any questions?
Yes, Rabbi, I want to go back for a second.
Yes.
I want to understand the Ha'arevna. You said it now Ashkenazim and Sephardim do the same thing?
I don't know for sure. I don't know what Sephardim do, but Ashkenazim generally are said them are printed v'ha'arevna, the way the Rama prefers. And the Mechaber says you're supposed to say v'ha'arevna. And Sephardim, most for the most part, maybe not Yemenites, but most Sephardim will follow the Mechaber, not the Rambam. So my guess is you have to ask next time you see someone from the Sephardic meaning, ask them whether they say.
Abe Essis, just ask them.
Okay, whether they say Harev, Vaharev. I would bet they say Vaharev, but I don't have a Sephardi sitter, so I don't know.
Thank you. Okay, thank you.
Rabbi, did you say the Amen actually stands for?
That's the Gemara on Shabbos, the Ramban quotes. Yes. The Gemara says, my Amen, what does Amen mean? Kel Melech Neman. I'm not telling you that that's pshat, but that is what the Gemara says. That is probably drash. For the linguists, you know what root is very much related to Amen, which is obvious after you hear it, but you don't realize it.
Emunah? No.
No, Emunah is, but that is literally that root. Isaac?
For example,
you gotta answer my question. What's the word that's related to amen?
Amen.
No, that is the word amen. A word that you don't realize, which is the word MS. The word MS, the root is really Aleph Mem Nun Tuf. And you see it in forms like Amito. It's a nun that's
Emet v'nachon.
What's that?
Emet v'nachon.
Yes, in this case. But so Amen and MS are the same root. It's a nun that dropped out in MS. Wow. Anyway.
That's amazing. That's great.
So that's not pshat. That's not actually pshat in Amen, but that's what the Gemara says. So we can see it as a no tree cone. Kel Melech Neman. Lenny, you had a question, then Isaac.
You mentioned the salt with the bread and the Hamotzi, Hamotzi Lechem in Aret. So there's always some debate at the Shabbos table about can one speak between Netilat Yadayim and the Bracha on Hamotzi? And can one speak between the hamotzi and the actual eating of the bread? So I think it's understood that the latter you may not speak. From the moment hamotzi is recited until the moment you've tasted bread, you may not speak. But the question is, does everyone at the table have to wait for the 13th person to arrive before, that old sort of nonsense?
So that's an interesting question. I haven't looked at it in a long time, but we studied when the Meshiva learned brachos years ago, over a decade ago. I remember encountering this issue. There's a question if the botseya has already eaten the bread, there's a question of whether or not the other people are prohibited in talking. The practice is to not to do so. Although ideally it would be better to have everybody have their own piece of bread if it's really a large number of people in front of them during the hamotzi, but I think that the issue may be a machlokas, but certainly one person, and maybe the person who broke bread, it, for sure, in order not to be hafsek, that person has to have eaten already. But I'd have to go back and look at it. I don't want to tell you offhand. Isaac?
Oh, thank you, Evan.
Isaac, you had a question. You're muted.
My question is, in some Siddurim, Lasso B'divrei Torah is considered one bracha with Vaharivna. And in some Siddurim, for example, I just looked up the Rabbi Yankov Emden. He says definitely it's separate and you should answer Amen separately on each one. So is that just a minute? I mean, what's the basis? Is it one bracha or is it the Koren Siddur has it as two brachos? The Hertz Siddur has it as two brachot?
So I think that that's a machlokas harishonim. And your position, the various positions I outlined, depend upon that. If you say v'harevna, I think you're not supposed to say amen after lasa b'divrei Torah. If you say harevna without a vav, then you should say amen.
I also I also look at the, it says clearly that women and children should also make the bracha lasok b'divrei Torah. I'm looking at the Rabbi Yaakov Emden's
book. But that's the Mechaber says that also, so that's not a surprise. No debate on that issue. Dr. Schwartz.
Two things. Number one, you keep saying that the Ramach Evarim is for the 248. It's also the number of mitzvot that say.
Right? Well, those are all tied together. They say there are, the Chazal say there are Ramach Evarim and Shisa Gidim. I don't know how you count the Gidim in the body. The Ramach Evarim are bones. I know that it may present some anatomical challenges to actually the number of the bones in the body. That's a longer discussion. But they connect all three of them. In other words, it's the mitzvos, the Evarim, and the words in Kriya Shema.
The actual number of bones and Evarim altogether would anatomically would be interesting to understand.
Right, that's for different discussion. You have to look at Alos, the Mishnah at the end of the first parak, to give some type of account, but it requires a further analysis. I'll leave it at that.
We got to look at Gray's Anatomy. The other thing, the other question is that there's a minhag, which is my minhag, which I got from my Rabbi Tendler, actually, that the Botseya gives the bread to everyone else before he eats it. So everybody has the bread, so there's this problem of Hefsek.
Right, so I'm not sure why, if he made a brach already and then he's distributing it, I'm not sure I understand what that saves.
That you give your guests first?
I understand that, but you don't cut down on the time because you made the bracha and then nobody's eating. Different people may see it differently, but it would seem simple to me that the person who broke bread should eat immediately to reduce the hefsek between the eating and the bracha. There's no hefsek. And then, according to some opinions, even though I don't think we follow this, the other people are allowed to talk before they eat the bread because the bracha and the achila took place immediately, are done already. It's like, it'd be no different than if I make a bracha, eat some of the bread, and now I want to talk and eat more bread. That would be the conceptual analog. So, okay, others may have a different practice.
But if, I don't understand, because if Shemeir Ka'ona, that means the other people really aren't, until they actually take the bread and eat the bread, they shouldn't be able to make a hafzik.
So I don't think it's Shemeir Ka'ona. I think it's clear it's not Shemeir Ka'ona. But that's a longer topic. Later in the Masechta, in the beginning of the seventh parak, there's a distinction between one person makes a bracha for everybody versus Shomei HaKona. When the Botzea makes a bracha, the Hamotzi, that is not Shomei HaKona. He's making everybody's bracha. It's a very different kind of institution. And it may be a while till we get to the seventh parak, but we could discuss it. We'll certainly deal with it then.
Rabbi Weider, what's the word Botzea from?
What's the word? I think it's only, it's a rabbinic word. Botseya lechem. It's the person who breaks bread.
Yeah. All right. When we were all younger, we didn't understand why did the balabayit eat first. You know, we always as children, like, what's going on?
Reduce the interruption. All right.
Okay. Thank you.